Again, Father, we offer ourselves, we present ourselves as living sacrifices whom you have made acceptable. There's not a thing about us by our own working that we could ever qualify us to stand before you, but Jesus has redeemed us. And our Redeemer is faithful and true. He is greater than all that has happened against us, all that we have done wrong. And so in his name, we present ourselves and invite you to continue your working in us and continue your working through us. Oh, we want to see your kingdom come, your will be done in as many lives as possible, starting with us, but through us, as many people as spiritually as possible, Father. We put no limit on you. You are able to do far beyond all that we ask or think or imagine according to the power that works in us. So we want your power working in us and then therefore through us, Father, that the ends of the earth would be touched by what you do in this church. The Lord is our strength. This is our strength, that you yourself are with us. And so we present ourselves to be helped this morning, to be equipped this morning, to be strengthened this morning, to be refreshed this morning, to be directed this morning, to be healed this morning. We ask you for help in every way that we are in need of it, Holy Spirit. I ask again for utterance in the opening of my mouth, and I thank you for it. And at the same time, I ask that you would set a guard over my mouth and cause to be of no effect anything that is not from you. We want to hear from heaven this morning, Father. We want your word working in us, that which is able to establish us. We want it working in us in Jesus' name. And I just give thanks to you. I give thanks to you for the kindnesses of God that surround us, for the loving kindnesses and the mercies of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. By your doing, you have made us sons and daughters of the living God. Open our eyes to understand, Father, what the privilege of that is. I just ask you in Jesus' name, help us to grow in the fear of the Lord and to delight in it. Amen, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Okay, Psalm 100, Proverbs chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm staying in the theme, the fear of the Lord. I don't think I'm done yet. I've used the fear of the Lord in a broader sense than perhaps exactly just talking merely about, revere the Lord. I've talked about it in this context, that for us to grow in what is ours as believers in Jesus, that is, Jesus himself has secured for us every kind of benefit with his sacrifice, with his sacrifice. He has secured it and he wants us to experience it. For that purpose, we need to grow in the fear of the Lord. It involves us keeping and giving God the place that he is due in our lives. This is a principle that is absolutely essential, and it has many facets to it. We've been focusing on the fact that we must be those who, in all things, give thanks. From Thessalonians, let me do those scriptures in reverse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, you know, you could say this quite reasonably. We all want, I hope, we all want to know, what's God's will? What's God's will? And, of course, there is the general will of God. He wants everyone saved. That's what the scriptures say. He desires that all men would be saved. He desires good. He loves justice and mercy. These are the kinds of things that God says about himself. So we have an understanding of the general will of God, but we often want to know, well, what does he want me specifically in this case? And I want to remind you of a principle. He or she who is faithful in a little will be given more. Okay, that's a paraphrase of two different passages. If you aren't faithful with a little, you won't be faithful with much. And to him who has, will more be given. To him who does not have, even what little has will be taken away from him. And I'd say that's not the Lord taking it away. Okay, again, reminding you of scripture that says, when the seed is sown, somebody comes to try and snatch it away. And it isn't God, right? So putting all of that together, if you are willing to be faithful with something small, then more can be given to you. Because if you're not even faithful with what is small, how can you be entrusted with bigger things? Well, here we have some insight given to us. So you want to know, what is the will of God? Should I study engineering? Yes. Should I study engineering or this? Should I take this job or that? Should I marry this person or not? All of that stuff we need. I don't wonder about or question whether those are necessary things in our life. But if you're not willing to be faithful with a little, why will God give you that? We want to hear God be so specific about, okay, take three steps to the left and go to that door and knock on it. And I think that's part of our adventure. But if we're not willing to start here, we're fooling ourselves that we'll be faithful with such responsibility. And here it says, in all things, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Right? I didn't make that up. It says it there. Right? So we can start by saying this. If you want to know more of the will of God in your life, start here. Before you can say it, well, just start by giving thanks. No, people often want, no, you tell me the specific. Answer my question. My question is more important than anything you say, God. Answer me. Then we'll talk about giving thanks. Now, of course, nobody presents it the way I just did. But isn't that what's going on? I refuse to give thanks until you explain to me, the queen of the universe, or king of the universe, how things are working here. This is the position that the devil wants to keep you stuck in. And God, who loves us, who gave his son for us, and therefore has no plan to withhold anything from us, right? If he's already given his son, why would he withhold anything from us? So his idea is to give you everything. He says, here's where you start. I don't want you to get stuck in the schemes of your adversary. So start here. Give thanks. We must give God the proper place. Okay, this is a bit of a review of everything I've spoken about so far. But if you're not willing to start here, you will be stuck. Last week I talked to you about the fact that even though we have circumstances in our life, and our life can be described as what's going on in my life, if I said, tell me about yourself, okay? More than likely, you're going to talk about, given the how much time you have, maybe where you were born, who your family was, what you study. People say, tell me about yourself. Well, I'm an engineer by training, okay? So they very quickly go to the things that they think are the significant things about them, okay? If I'm ashamed to be an engineer, that's not coming up. But if that's something I think, hey, this is good, then I want you to know about it. I'm an engineer. But you know what? The most valuable things about you are not those things. It's not who you healed. It's not who you could pray for. It's an interesting thing. Throughout the history of Scripture, people have moved in the power of the Holy Spirit, but that was no indication of how stable they were, how mature they were. And it is something, I'll say this as an aside, it's something important for us to take hold of. The moment someone gets born again, we should teach them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, get baptized in water, and begin to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not a, and I think I'm responsible for this, not a, well, first you need to go to the school of life and learn, and then maybe down the road. No, the moving of the Holy Spirit was something to be part of your life right away. The scriptures say believers will lay hands on the sick. Not mature believers will lay hands on the sick. This is not to deny a need for maturity. But we should not act like that is some secret thing reserved for the extra mature. Okay? But as an aside to that, someone moving in power is not an indication that they are mature. That they are stable. That they have come to a place in their devotion to God that they're not rocked by things. Well, the way we get there starts, amongst other places, it starts here. Give God his place. Give God his place. God's agenda for you includes much more than what you can do for him. Okay? And we don't have to deny that God wants to do things through you. He wants you to be an instrument through which people get healed. through which people are lifted up out of their circumstances. You know, may the Lord so thoroughly bless you that the next time you're standing in the grocery line, I mean, maybe you can't imagine of this else, but may this come to pass in your existence. The next time you're standing in the grocery line and the person in front of you is, you know, looking at their groceries and now starting to put things back because they don't have the money, may you so prosper. You say, you know what? Could I just pay for those groceries for you? Because whether you realize it or not, God really likes you. And he just wants that to be taken care of. May you come to that point. I'm not saying go and do that. Do you understand? I'm not saying that we all have that wherewithal. But may he bring you to that place that you are so affected by the salvation of God that you begin to affect people that way. By all means, we need that. We need that. I am not at all in any way, shape, or form saying that we should not be moving in these kinds of things. But do not mistake what you do for God for who you are in God. Okay? You are a son and a daughter. Well, not both, but you're a son or a daughter of the living God by his doing. That is the source of your value to him. It isn't what you do for him that makes you precious. If you allow what you do for God to be your identity, you will get knocked off. I'm not finishing my thought. The devil will be able to trap you. Because when something happens in your life and you are not moving in those things that define you, then all of a sudden, who are you? What are you? You're stuck. God wants you to stand on a far more certain platform, a far more stable platform. And that's why we talk about being disciples. Right? We've got to learn this. It doesn't happen automatically. Nobody, let me know if this is ever the case. Has anyone in the entire history of the planet, except for Adam and Eve, been born fully grown? Nobody. We're all babies, and we had to learn how to control our bowels and to use our vocal cords properly and to dress ourselves, all the things. But we also had to learn, I don't get whatever I want. We had to learn there's a way to do things and a way not to do things. And God deliberately makes a parallel between how we were born naturally and how we were born again. You, what is precious about you is not what you can do for God, without any denying that there is a thing to do for God. What is precious about you is that you are his child, his son and his daughter, whom he delights over. And so we must learn how to be that, and how to be that involves give him the right place. Give him the right place. We've been talking about it in this context, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is something far deeper. It is, we started this series by looking at that passage where Jesus is described as someone who delights in the fear of the Lord. Right? He's not just, I got to mind my P's and Q's. I'm not sure if that's a, is that still used as a saying? I got to watch my step. I got to make sure that God doesn't get angry with me. He wasn't thinking about the fear of the Lord as a watch out, as much as a, oh, I love to fear the Lord. As if that was some secret to his life. Because it was, right? The fear of the Lord from Isaiah is something to delight yourself in. Not merely watch your step or he'll blow you away. He can blow you away, no question about that. But that is not the context that we are to understand the fear of the Lord. We have been adopted by his doing as sons and daughters. I want to learn what that means. I want to learn what that means. If I was a man who by my industriousness had made billions of dollars, that doesn't mean that I would give my 7-year-old daughter a division of the company to run. Why? Because I don't like my daughter? She's not ready. She is not ready. Not only would the company's division fail, but my daughter would be so overwhelmed by the responsibility of it and then the guilt of destroying it. I'm not sure how clued in a 7-year-old would be. Likewise, do you see that we are the sons and daughters of God? I didn't finish my thought there. So, even if she destroyed it, I would still delight over my daughter if I loved her. But leaving that aside, me not giving her that responsibility does not mean I don't just delight over her, that I don't have thoughts of her becoming the person who takes my place when my time is finished. But I understand I need to groom her for that. I need to train her for that. I need to teach her for that. Likewise with you and me. God delights over you, not because of what you have done, not what you can do for him, though that matters. He delights over you because you put your trust in Jesus, his ordained propitiation. We just don't have enough words that are glorious enough to describe how marvelous and excellent what Jesus did for us is. But because you trusted him, by his doing, you have been adopted as a son. You know, the one thing that's interesting about adoption is, whereas the kids you have naturally, you don't really have much choice over, adoption is your choice. And God doesn't say you're just naturally his children. I know that there's an idea that, you know, we're all God's children. And, you know, in a very loose way, I suppose you could say that's correct. But the way the scriptures paint this is God chose you. He deliberately, with purpose, with understanding and insight, took you for himself. And that's where we have to start. I am a son. I am a daughter of the living God. And he delights over me. Not because of what I do, but because of what he has done. He has made me precious in his sight. Therefore, I will give him thanks. This is how we must be as the sons and daughters of God. I'm not sure that I've done an adequate job emphasizing the need for this practice. I want to take one more step and say, this is something that has to be deliberately chosen by you. Last week, again, we spent a lot of time talking about the fact that one of the significant things about who you and I are is that we are free to choose. God does not make us choose him. Because what he is after in our life isn't accomplished by forcing you to do what he wants. It's accomplished by bringing you to a place where you choose to do what he wants. Okay? Again, I think it's worth emphasizing, what you do for God is not as important as you might imagine. Now, I say that with some hesitation because, on the other hand, God is waiting for us to do things. Okay? But your value to him isn't rooted in what you can do for him. Right? What is valuable to God about you, and I'm maybe being very presumptuous to put myself and say, this is what God values about you, but I think this is what the scriptures say. What is valuable about you is that you choose him. That is what's precious to him. That you choose him. You choose him. And you learn to choose him all the time. Okay? That is a learned thing. It is a learned thing. And so God comes in many places and gives us this instruction. So, as I said, we started here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me take one example from the Psalms. This is Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Okay, Psalm 100. We can find many places that imply to you that you are to shout, stand, kneel, bow, lift your hands, sing, dance. What else is there? Anybody else can think of something that I missed in the list of scriptures that you can probably come to mind? Bless. Okay, I'm just going to leave bless aside just for one moment, but it does say that, right? Psalm 103, three more chapters here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I want you to see, though, that at least from this psalm and other scriptures, there is this deliberate use of your body in expressing thanksgiving and praise. Okay? Now, Have you recognized that if you're going to raise your hands, it doesn't just happen? Has that happened to anybody? You're just sitting there, oh, bless the Lord. Has that actually happened to anybody? Honestly, it hasn't. It hasn't. I understand, and I wonder if we're a little bit deceived about it, that, you know, there's a picture of moving in the Spirit where it implies you are out of control and things just happen. I understand that that can be a picture. I don't know that that's such an accurate picture of how the Holy Spirit moves, because, I should be careful here, I'm not saying that when the Holy Spirit comes that we couldn't have a physical reaction that causes us to fall down. I believe that. And I can understand that people might start to laugh and do things like that. That part I understand. Okay? But that is not to be the way we govern our lives, because the scriptures don't talk about that. Wait until you start shaking with laughter over the Holy Spirit. I find no scripture from there that backs that up. But I do find instruction that tells me to be deliberate. Shout for joy! I don't accidentally shout. I have never accidentally shouted. Well, but again, I still chose to. That's what I want to say. Nobody made me shout. I mean, yes, I guess somebody could come and bang my hand with a hammer and it's crushed and then I shout, but I don't think that's what he's talking about here. And it wouldn't probably be praise that I shout out in that moment. But what I wanted to illustrate is that the instruction from Scripture is very, it directs you to this. I want you to be deliberate in making your offerings to me, in making your thanksgivings to me, your praises to me. I want you to be deliberate. Now, as we discussed before, of course, when you're happy, when cheerful, everything is going great, somebody just has been miraculously healed, who would not think to say, hallelujah, thank you, Lord? But the majority of Scripture is directed to, the majority of Scripture about this isn't oriented towards what to do when things go well. It's oriented towards how to live your life when things are not going well. Be deliberate. And this is so essential for us to learn. You know, every one of us has circumstances. Every one of us has circumstances. The balance changes as time goes on. Hopefully you have more great circumstances than terrible circumstances, but you have circumstances. And one of the things that your adversary, the devil, wants you to just sort of accept and believe is you can't do a thing about it. What happens to you is what happens to you. And yes, you're hopeful that God will somehow change your circumstances and then everything will be fine. I'm all in favor of your circumstances changing from the worst to the better. I'm completely in favor of that, but you are not permitted to wait for that. And if you don't understand this, you will miss an essential aspect of how to live here. How to live here. The moment you gave your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God came to dwell within you. Okay? There is a need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which in a sense can be looked at as a releasing of the Holy Spirit through you. But you cannot be alive if the Spirit of God has not come into you. Okay? You've been joined to Him. You have been made one spirit with the living God. That's why you are alive. So, by Scripture, you contain, I don't want to put it that way, but you have become this new creature who is tied to, connected to, infinite power. There is nothing that you cannot do if you believe Him. Nothing. Nothing is impossible for the one who believes God. Right? So you actually are a creature for whom whatever circumstance is no match. But God does not just manifest these things through you like this. You gaze at the disease and it automatically disappears. It's not like that. You have to believe Him. And you have to work with Him. You have to work the will of God in your circumstances. even though you are, in one sense, like this extraordinary being that has never been before, right? You're a new creation, is what the scriptures say. The old things have passed away. New things have come. That means both you're not what you used to be, but it also means this is a kind of being that has never been before. God has ushered in something completely new. You know, you have something that, I don't know what you think of Daniel in the Old Testament, but he's hero worthy, if you know what I mean. He's an example to follow. Or David. But you have something that they did not have. You're a new creature. The old things have passed away. So, in one sense, everything that is necessary is contained within you to change every circumstance. But you must choose it. How the impossible things of God work out in your life involve your choice. And so, whatever is your circumstance, do not be persuaded, I can't do anything about it. I'm powerless. I just have to wait until God does something. I'm waiting for my circumstances to change. Why did God let this happen? And why doesn't he change it? Well, if that's the kind of situation you find yourself in, what you need to do is deliberately give thanks. Deliberately. What I want to emphasize today in this idea of the fear of the Lord is your deliberate choice of it. Okay? I understand it's exciting when, you know, euphoria, for the lack of a better way of putting it, hits us and we're just delighted in things and we're rejoicing. I can imagine there's room for that. But you know what? The majority of your life requires you to make choices to honor the Lord. So we can't escape it. If you're waiting around in this place of everything is terrible, nothing is going right, I will tell you, you need to start with what God said. Give thanks. So, shout. Raise your hands. Not necessarily all at once, but these are the kinds of things you have to do. As I said, you don't accidentally raise your hands. And you know what? I don't know whether you've ever seen this about yourself. If, by the way, if you're in a depressed state right now, you have an opportunity to test this. If you are downcast, if you are stuck, one of the hardest things to do is to deliberately lift your hands and praise the Lord. Well, I don't mean that it's like you can't do it. I just mean so much in you says, Another thing that I have noticed about myself and other people is when they are not doing so well in the Lord, they start to get quiet. Okay? Or they get noisy with the wrong kind of thing. But they don't begin to just... The person who's chatty begins to be quiet. Right? The person who is normally happy to see you, it's almost like this cloud envelops you. But what's really going on is the devil is subtly trying to keep you from making a choice of God. However it looks, at the end of the day, he does not want you to be deliberate in your offering to him. And the fear of the Lord for us must include, he is always worthy of my thanksgiving. And so I will give it. How he prescribes it, I will give it. Yes, other people have made this point. People behave in a football game in a way that they would not behave at church. Which is kind of funny, if you stop to think about it. A ball crossed the line, and that's where, yeah! Woo! God gave his son and healed me. Oh, thank you, Lord. It shows you the spiritual nature of the fight that we have. What is worth rejoicing over, we're waiting to feel. What is not worth rejoicing over, we're letting our feelings carry us. And what I'm trying to teach, or what I'm trying to get across to both you and me, because it's as much a necessity for me as it is for everybody else in this room. Be deliberate. Be deliberate. Do not wait until you feel like giving thanks. This is a key for us to navigate this horribly broken place. In all things, give thanks. Be willing to shout at the appropriate time. Be willing to raise your hands. Be willing to sing. Be willing to dance. Why? Because all of a sudden something came over you and you just have no choice but to dance? Okay, that's fine. Okay, let's imagine that's the case. But that is not as valuable as your choice to say, you know what, you're even worthy of me looking like an idiot. And I will just give myself to you. There was no offering that was not physical. There's not a single offering in the scriptures that does not involve a physicality to it. Certainly the Old Testament, in all of the offerings that were prescribed, something was given, right? Like the wheat that you grew, or a lamb was taken and slaughtered. Something was given. That principle hasn't changed. The offering unto the Lord is something physically involved. Of course, you know, raising your hands and your heart is cursing God doesn't help matters. So by no means am I saying that your heart should not be involved. But what I am hoping to get across to you is how we govern our heart includes the willingness to say, I'm just going to raise my hands right now. I'm just going to raise my hands and just say, you are worthy of it. I'm just going to take 5 minutes or whatever time I need. I'm just going to say, this thing is telling me that my life is cursed. Well, my life is actually blessed because of you, Lord, and I just want to thank you. I just want to give thanks to you. I just want to thank you. Even if I don't see the situation change today, I thank you that you have loved me, that you have not abandoned me, that you have not forsaken me, that you have plans for my well-being. So I want to say thank you. And in any case, I know that I will be with you because Jesus came to save me. So I just give thanks to you. Is he worthy? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. By what he has done, he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. This has to be a part of our makeup. You know, we're talking about being disciples. And hopefully that it has become embedded in our thinking that that is a call to follow him into the good things he's prepared. Okay? There is a way to God. At the risk of dishonoring him, you know, Shakespeare said there's a method to his madness. You know, God's ways look crazy. Give thanks when nothing's going on. But he's not crazy. He is absolutely wise and perfect in all that he does. And he loves you. And so he says, listen, child, here's how to behave as a member of my family. Here's how to govern your walk down here. Give thanks. In all things, rejoice. This has to be a characteristic of your life. I know that we can somehow we know people and they're just always happy and cheerful and yay, and then there's me, right? Well, you need to be like, I don't mean you need to copy them or emulate them. You need to make joy a big deal. The passage that we read, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always. So, is that a passive word? How's it? Is it a command or is it a fact? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it something that is true about you or is it something that you must do? Do, right? Well, rejoice always. So that means any kind of circumstance, I have been told to rejoice. How do I do that? How do I do that? If I don't feel happy, how am I supposed to rejoice? And Hannah put it so well today. The passage that she referred to, the joy of the Lord is our strength, is from the book called Nehemiah. And it's in this context. Everybody just heard how far short they have fallen of God, and they were despondent. They were absolutely, I think the British would say destroyed, but I mean like they were just overwhelmed with grief about how far below what God had said they were living. And in the midst of being overwhelming, almost to the point of being, you know, distressed and crying, comes this word, rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not mourn, do not weep, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What's God getting at? He's telling you to rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. He's telling you, connect yourself to my joy. Do not interpret that as wait until you feel like rejoicing, because then you miss the benefit.
Yeah, no, pregnant only to win and find out that she had cancer. They didn't they wanted her to abort the baby, and she said, no, no, it's God's will. She ended up having a healthy baby, and she had a wonderful idea on there. She kept that jar, and every time she had a blessing from the Lord, she'd write out a note and put it in there. And when she's feeling down and out, like you say, where you don't feel like you have anything to rejoice for, she'd dump it and start reading all the blessings that have come. And sometimes we forget about the blessings that have already been bestowed upon us.
Yep.
In coming alive, that even though it happened 2-3 years ago, it had such a significant change in our lives to where we are today. And sometimes those reminders help us to renew that and remember why we are rejoicing. It may not seem like we do in the moment, but He's already done so many things for us already that we forget, because it's part of the past now. It's not part of the past. It's
right.
Part of the present. It's part of who you are in your new identity in Christ.
Right.
And it's a great way to remember.
Absolutely. Or you could make a record. Some people have a like a journal that they keep track of all the things that God has done for them. Those are marvelous. Okay? But even more important is, if that journal is not next to you, you understand something here. I always have a reason to rejoice, or He would not have told me to do it. And sometimes our situation is not changing. It is stuck there because we have not actually deliberately given God His place. Okay, God is not punishing us. Don't get me wrong. God is not, well, until you say something nice about me, you just stay there. You just go to your room and you suffer. You're not going to have supper tonight. That is not God. It is because He's saying, I want to take you out of this. Come with me. No! Until you do something for me, I'm not coming. Now, of course, I understand nobody does that, but that is in the spirit what we are doing, throwing a tantrum. And God says, come with me. And if we're wise, we'll say, how? Rejoice always. But I have nothing to rejoice for. Really? Really? The main thing the devil does against you in every circumstance is to try and undermine your thought about God. His faithfulness, His mercy, His goodness, His willingness to always rescue you despite how foolish you are. The main thing in your circumstance that the devil is really attacking is your perception of God. And God tells you, therefore, give thanks. It is like Him saying, let me keep you safe from that guy's, from the devil's schemes. I'm always good to you. I always have a reason to help you. You have a guarantee from me that I will lift you up. What is that guarantee? If I gave my son for you, how would you not have the right to always expect I will help you? Don't be fooled by how you see things happening. Your responsibility here is give thanks. It's not the only thing you need to do, but here's where you start. I give thanks to you. I just bless your name. What I know is this, you love me. I don't know why this is happening, but I know you love me. And I just give thanks to you. That is a reason to rejoice over. Your love is not this passive, well, I hope things work out for you kind of love. It is this active, pursuing love. You mean to rescue me here. You've got a way through this for me. I just give thanks to you. And before you know it, instead of being governed by the circumstance, you're stepping over it. And some of us are waiting in our circumstance for God to do something so that we can get past it. And it's not going to be like that. You have to give thanks. You have to deliberately cultivate this way of, I will honor you. I give you the place that you are due. High above all things is the living God. The best thing that I could possibly say about you doesn't come close to how good you are. The highest and the best songs we could ever sing don't come close to the glory of the Lord. I have reason to give thanks. I have reason to give thanks. And sometimes you may be so depressed that you don't see very much except to say, you know what, you said to give thanks. I give you thanks. That deliberate act of obedience is more precious than the overflowing of cheerfulness that comes when circumstances are good. We have to learn this because God wants us to successfully navigate life down here. He really does. There's not a single person here who's finish with thanksgiving. Let's put it that way. How you, will you ever give thanks? Finish with thanksgiving, if I could put it that way. You must involve this. Otherwise, what you are saying is, everything that is happening to me is more worthy of my attention, fear, respect, puzzlement than God. And that's the danger. That's what God wants you to reverse. Because reversing that is the key to coming out. Reversing that is the key to coming out. We don't, I want to end here. We could use examples. I'll leave it to you guys as you wish. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Let's double check it. Is an episode recorded for us about when David was at the end of his rope. Absolutely at the end of his rope. Everything. If things are going bad for you, it doesn't compare to what happened to David here. Okay? He's a fugitive. Denied what God has said is his. Okay? He has been anointed king. And instead of reigning, he's running for his life from the current king. He's running with a bunch of robbers and thieves and nasty people. Instead of, you know, hiding out in some fortress, he's running for his life wherever. Well, finally, they have a little base of operations. An enemy comes and takes everything there, including his wives, their wives and children. And people are so fed up that they just cry, and then they start thinking, it's all David's fault. And they want to stone him. And it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord. And I will contend, though not today, you can always ask me about it, that is what we find in the Psalms. He strengthened himself in the Lord, and he turned the situation around, not God. You understand, I'm not saying that God wasn't involved, but the key here was, and then David strengthened himself in the Lord. And then he managed to turn this rabble that wanted to stone him around. They go after the enemy, get back everything that was taken from him. And everything pivoted on he strengthened himself in the Lord. What are you waiting for your situation to pivot on? What are you expecting is the pivot point? I'll win the lottery, then everything will be great. I'll make enough money that I'll be able to retire. The pivot point is you strengthening yourself in the Lord by giving him thanks, by just doing what he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I didn't even get to my passage in Proverbs where it says, watch over your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. But this is what I've talked about this morning, right? Watch over your heart. Watch over your heart. Things are going terrible. Everything is wrong. It's not your fault. Things that are beyond your control have been happening. Watch over your heart. That's what your father says. Watch over your heart. The problem here is not what's going on around you. It is what is happening in your heart. So let me tell you how to watch over it. Give thanks.
What?
Yeah, give thanks. Deliberately find things to give thanks to God for. And herein you find where you are at regarding the fear of the Lord. Is it a good enough reason for God to say, do this, child, for you to do it? Or do you need some better reason? And let me tell you, I'm no different than anybody else in this room. I have learned the hard way. Actually, he's simply worthy of it. Him saying it is a good enough reason. And it immediately throws me back to, so why should I give thanks? At my worst, he loves me. I can never hide from him. I'm never going to be away from him. He has his hand on me. He comes after me. I don't know the things that God has built into your life that you can use as a ladder to climb out from the pit of depression into getting on with God. But he has given you things. You know, for some of us, it's just, I was dead and now I'm alive. I may be the worst Christian that has ever walked on the earth, but I am a Christian. And I just want to give thanks to you, Father, for it. And as you as you grow in the Lord, as you become more aware of what the Scriptures say, there's lots to give thanks to Him for. Oh my goodness! The blood of Jesus speaks on my behalf. For me personally, that's one of my go-tos. I just want to give thanks, Father, that the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf. Because it's not hard for me to get so caught up with how much I fail. It's very easy for me to get caught up with that. And so I come to the Lord and say, I just want to thank you, Father, that the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf. It's speaking on my behalf. And instead of crying out for vengeance, it's saying, blessed, mine, says the Lord. I have something that I did not accomplish, speaking on my behalf, that God approves of. I just want to give thanks to you for it. How could I ever say thank you enough? At my very worst, the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf. I have an access into the throne of grace. I can always come to Him now. Always. Not when I'm in my good mood, when I'm doing well, but at my very worst, I can step into the throne room of God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus is speaking on my behalf. Thank you, Lord. So there may be other things that are like rungs in that ladder for you. Use them. What I really want to get across today is just the need for being deliberate. Okay? Please, be willing to move away from the idea of, oh yeah, I like the idea of thanksgiving. I like the idea of praise. When, and what's not said is, so, you know, why isn't God making it possible to do that? To the place where you see God has made it possible. Now our choice is to honor Him with it. It is an absolute breakthrough if you're willing to step into it. It absolutely will break you through. I'm not denying that there's more, but it is a doorway into the fullness of God that we have to continually choose. And so the devil works overtime to keep you from doing it. It's okay. You can still choose it. It's okay. Do not wait for your circumstances to change to give thanks to the Lord. Deliberately. I invite you to continue at times to shout to the Lord. Okay, I think some of you did it. And I think you observed an effect. But let's move beyond the effect now and just say, this is what God says to do, so I'm going to shout. I certainly know that it can be the thing that wakes me up again. So great, when I need to be woken up to the goodness of God, I'm going to do it. But even otherwise, I'm just going to shout to the Lord. He's simply worthy of it. He's simply worthy of it. I'm going to raise my hands. I'm not a hand-raising person, but I'm going to raise my hands. Which is more precious to God? The person who always just raises their hand, whatever they do, and they don't care about God at all. It's just what the church does. It's just what we do. We raise our hands. Or the person who does not like to raise their hands, but because God said to do it, they do it. That is precious. That is precious. God is always interested in your heart and the whys of your life. Much more than the what of your life. He raised their hands. Oh, that's got to count for something. No, the heart that said, I will choose to raise my heart, that counts for something. The hands themselves are irrelevant. I mean, come on. What? There's a joke. I better stop here, otherwise I'm going to keep on going. There's a joke. Ladies in Texas like to wear their hair big because the higher the hair, the closer to heaven, sort of thing. What? The higher my hands go, the closer I am to God rescuing me? No. What was valuable was the choice within that said, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will raise my hands. I will sing. I will shout. I will dance. I will defy the circumstance that says He's not worthy of all of that. I will defy it. Many of the things in our life require a defying and thereby an honoring of the Lord. Okay, I'm stopping there.